Welcome to the Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. During the heydays of information technology, India was known for its massive outsourcing industry. The country offered a competitive advantage to Western companies who shipped their needs to India and saved on costs. Things have changed since. Today, IT firms are expected to be quote-unquote business partners to their clients and not just cost savers. In fact, clients, in-house IT teams too, are compelled to think business first from the tech standpoint to transform themselves. Joining me on the call to talk about just this is Ashwin Yardi, CEO India Capgemini. Hi Ashwin, thanks for joining in.
My pleasure, Abhishek.
Thank you. Business transformation by harnessing technology is often quoted as a game changer. And these days we've got many events that even you would have been a part of where you would have moderated or even a keynote speaker. And it's all about digital transformation. What is it exactly and how does one see it in layman's terms?
It's a very, very interesting question, Abhishek. Today, frankly, we are in such an exciting technology world. If you are somebody who's a developer or a consultant on the technology side, it's probably the most interesting times to be in. And like most of us who are also consumers of technology, it's the same. We see so many new products or the traditional products which have got a very, very different flavor as a consequence of technology. Now, you will hear a lot of terms, you know, some of the classic terms you will use is cloud computing, data, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things or IoT, augmented reality, virtual reality, and mother of all, if you have to say AI or artificial intelligence. Now, these are all the technologies which have really, really expanded in everyday life. 9 months ago, if you would have had to take a mortgage, you would have gone to a bank or an HDFC or SBI and done all the paperwork sitting in front of the clerk or the officer there. All of this now is enabled online. It takes 15 minutes to run the process. All of it is simple digitization of the process. That's quite simple. Very interesting example. Probably you experienced, I've experienced it myself in my complex. You know, we all wanted to buy groceries. And what I see is one fine day, I have a very nice big basket dispenser in my complex. The beauty of that machine is, first, it's entirely digital, contactless. I order it on my phone. I just show my phone onto that. It's like a big refrigerator-like machine. And voila, the product comes out. But not only just that, the beauty of this is big basket on the background analyzes what am I buying and what are my neighbors buying every day. And accordingly, first they replenish. And second, they ensure they put fast moving products. It's beneficial for me because they replenish and they are analyzing the buying behavior and then making decisions what products to bring and what products to probably get off the shelf. So these are just very, very few examples, which shows that it's one of the most exciting times to be in technology, both as somebody who builds technology for people like us, or for, you know, consumers like us, which we consume every day, some product or the other. You know, if I have to sum it up, technology has become the product. You know, earlier it was an enablement to the product. Now, in most cases, technology is in itself the product. And that's the big shift we've seen in the last 5 years.
Indeed. And the example that you gave about how it has changed our lives as consumers, it reminds me of that famous one you would have read about it, is the Target in the US. You just mentioned, right, how that dispenser will recommend you products based on your past history as well as that of your neighbor's buying patterns. So Target found that pregnant women were pretty decent chunk of their total revenues because they would like to buy everything under the same roof. So they wrote an algorithm by looking at the buying behavior of pregnant women, and they could find out at what month they were in, and they would send flyers at the customers' homes embedded among other flyers so that they were not looked with suspicion. One of the fathers came to Target shouting at them, you know, what are you guys doing? I just found out a pamphlet about pregnant women that you gave to my daughter. And then 4 days later, he apologized back to Target saying, hey, there were some things that happened at home. I wasn't aware of them, and that she is indeed pregnant. So that it was all about looking at data, piecing one and two together, and then also pushing certain products, which is to our advantage.
Absolutely.
Could you also talk about that today companies also talk about creating a sustainable and an inclusive future? And I quote this from one of our previous interactions, is how does it reflect from the Capgemini's perspective that it's not just about pushing products, but also making sure that these are sustainable? So how do you mean that?
So firstly, I think there are multiple aspects of sustainable products and overall focus on sustainability. You know, sustainability is one of the 17 UN goals, you know, as they call it, sustainable development goals, SDGs. We at Capgemini have been focusing on sustainability. And in fact, we recently announced our new purpose statement, which has sustainability as a key part, which says, you know, to unleash human energy through technology for an inclusive and sustainable future. You know, currently the world is trending close to 3.2 degrees temperature increase by year 2100, which would mean almost half of the world possibly would have to live in sub-Saharan type of a climate. Big focus around is commit to now what is called as 1.5 degrees SBTI or science-based targets. Capgemini is one of the signatories, and there are around 1,000 companies around the world which have signed up to these commitments. In fact, we also got our targets verified. So we are one of the 400 companies that has got the target verified. And we are focused on all aspects of sustainability. So we are looking at our own energy consumption in our offices. We are looking at how do we reduce travel, and then where the travel still required domestically or within office, you know, from to office, make it on electric vehicles, as well as build programs and projects which really give us a clean offset to our carbon footprint. And I just want to illustrate a few things which we've done on our campuses, and we have quite a few of them. We generate almost 8 megawatts of solar power. And interestingly, since more than 95% of all of us are working from home, we were generating surplus power for last 4 months. You know, from being a technology company, we also for a small period are a sustainable energy generator.
Right. And you're measuring this down to the second decimal, it looks like.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We announced a program to plant 1 million trees. And what we also done is not only look at our own sustainability, but we are also looking at how can we bring sustainability or sustainable solutions to our clients. We have an offer, consulting offer, which will help them assess their carbon footprint and then build a roadmap for them to achieve the carbon reductions. We have committed that we will be carbon neutral by 2025 and net carbon zero by 2030. All actions are focused to achieve this, and if we can, even before that.
And do you see that the pandemic has brought this problem right up and center, or now is it a slightly lower priority given that companies are grappling just to meet their bottom line?
I would say it's given actually more focus and prominence because of pandemic. There is really a new way of working that can very easily sustain business in the new pandemic, and which is significantly environment friendly or greenhouse friendly. For last 9 months, we've been working from home, which means less travel, which means I'm burning much lesser fossil fuel. And also what we all realized is there is so much less we really need to consume than what we were doing earlier. You also save costs. One of the key research we recently launched, we said 55 key technologies for sustainability. You know, it's a research report we launched in Europe. It studied many countries. If we follow the path of those technologies to create a sustainable world, it creates 12 million more jobs. It results in close to 900 billion euros of positive impact on GDP of the world. And then probably, I think the number was around 800 million gigawatts of carbon ton savings. So it's not just to do it for the sustainability sake, it also clearly demonstrates that the business can benefit both on top line in creating jobs and in bottom line through sustainability.
And talking about the pandemic, and we are no longer in lockdown, but the new phrase bandied about is that of a new normal. Now, in that context, how do you see customer expectations changing, both the end customers as well as your clients? And how have you adopted, or generally, how do firms in this segment adopt to a new delivery model?
Firstly, across the industry, we were able to demonstrate that we could deliver to all our global clients very, very seamlessly with no impact to their business. I think as a country and IT industry, we did a phenomenal job of rapidly moving from 100% work from office to almost 90 to 95% work from home. In the near term to long term, it has actually increased the appetite for moving work offshore. Because let's look at it this way. If you had a few of your consultants who are local in a, let's say a client in the US or in Europe, and if they're working away from the client site and working from home, then what difference does it make if they're working from home in Germany or France or California versus they're working from home in India? Of course, we have to be very, very vigilant about data security and cyber security. But I think till now, the industry and the businesses have managed it very well. On client side, and when I'm talking about clients, it's my customers' customers. I think everybody went through, people use different terms, but people went through three different, I would say, phases. First phase was, we call it 3R. First phase was just response. Okay, so when the pandemic started, everybody was struggling in some ways. It was a new way, what you didn't know what to do. So it was all about how do you continue the business in a normal way. It was all about response. Then it was about restoring, so get everything well established. That's where people started working, looking at saving the cost. And then the third phase, which most companies are today, is what I call as a relaunch. In the context and what has happened in the past and how we see the future, how do we relaunch new products? What kind of products your customers would want in the new normal? And that's where a lot of, as I said, the big basket example is classic example. They were always online, but they actually brought a very nice mix of bringing the whole small grocery refrigerator back in your complex. Customers are now looking at launching new products for the new customer needs of the future. Now people are really looking at how to make the most of the current situation to grow and to generate more business.
Yes, I think that's a good example. The one that you keep coming back to, big basket. You are insinuating that the pandemic gave the company a different way to reach its customers and not just online. And we can also see how consumer behaviors are shifting. As you are aware, Indians are not that great tippers when it comes to, a free home delivery by Swiggy, let's say. Today, a user interface on the app, whether it's a Swiggy or a Zomato, etc., it's just one tap away where you could tip 20, 50 or 100. Now, that's a change in consumer behavior because technology has allowed you to get there with one tap. And you always wanted to, but you were too lazy perhaps to go back to your wallet to fetch 20 bucks and give it there, or maybe it was a little inconvenient. So this is another example of how technology is slowly seeping into our daily routines and also helping the economy. In this case, these are the delivery boys and girls who don't earn more than 18 to 25,000 rupees a month.
Absolutely. As in, technology has made a lot of changes to how we all behave.
And you mentioned at the start of this podcast, Ashwin, about big technologies, including artificial intelligence. Now, I'm curious to pick your brain on this. What are some of the practical applications in these times? And also, let's say a year down the line, fingers crossed, when the vaccine reaches nooks and corners of the world, what will some of its big bang applications be? And how has AI already changed consumer behavior?
3 years ago, we had done a survey which showed only 30% and this survey was done across 1,000 or companies around the world. Around 30% of companies had embraced AI at a larger scale, beyond just one pilot. What we see today is that number has changed to almost 50%+. So we do see companies now more and more embracing AI in their business. Most companies which have done AI at scale start seeing quantifiable benefits. They see reasonable double-digit improvement in their top line and also significant increase in their customer acquisition and customer loyalty. You know, we worked with some governments in Europe, you know, or a European government agency, where we used our consulting capabilities and AI for fraud detection. The government has seen, or the agencies have seen, 10x benefits on these projects. One of our customers, which is a global consumer product customer, has deployed AI-based customer recommendation engine. And they've been able to get close to 120 million euros of revenue in a very, very short span. So these are just a couple of examples which we have done. Some in very interesting examples, you know, if you go to a whole store, it's a Dutch food and grocer, very famous one. You know, they have electronic shelves. And what the shelves do is they track how people are, you know, looking at the product or how they are seeing the product. And based on that, they dynamically change the pricing. It's based on, let's say, the product's going to get expired, or if they start seeing a lot more sort of eyeballs on the product, they dynamically change the pricing of the product.
And you also had told me about this before the recording, about another startup, Wasteless, which is based in England. And there they dynamically change the prices of food depending on when they will expire, thereby hopefully reducing the waste.
Absolutely.
And the last one, and because you are right at the top, Ashwin, and you would be fielding these kind of questions, bear with me, it's a cliched one, but where do you see technology's contribution to business in the next 5 years, given the fact that we already are at a cusp of AI, we've got Elon Musk's of the world doing what they do. We have Indian outfits also trying to push the envelope. Do you see this, these next 5 years, the applications galloping to the consumer, or do you see them as incremental benefits will be accrued generally to the masses?
I want to use an interesting quote, and there is also a lot of debate on whose quote it is actually. In technology, we normally say we overestimate the benefits of a new technology over the short period of 1 year, and we underestimate the benefit of it over 10 years.
That's a good one.
So in some ways, your question of 5 years is in between. In our technology world, we call a technology hype cycle. So there is always a classic cycle where first the technology is immature, then it starts growing, and then it becomes mature. So what we start seeing is definitely technologies like cloud are now getting very, very mature. Artificial intelligence, there's still a lot more applications which we'll see coming and impacting our life. And then if I have to see technologies like augmented reality, virtual reality has been there for some time, but probably still not as fully consumed for real, you know, wider applications.
True.
So I would watch out for some technologies like AR, VR, but the biggest impact and change will be what we do through 5G and edge computing. You know, 5G will radically change what happens in the technology world. I think if you're watching Netflix on your phone, probably you enjoy some part of the experience, not all of it. 5G will radically change it. And not only the end user consumption, but something like 5G will radically change manufacturing and the gut of production. There is a big, big expectation that these technologies would leapfrog over the next 3 to 5 years. So, you know, again, coming from technology, business, we always on lookout of what's the new technology and how do we create the right usage of it for business and then for society in general.
Right. And at the same time, Ashwin, I think you would be getting these questions as well, is one must be always wary of over-engineering, in that maybe you don't need a complex technology to solve a business problem, but often some companies may be guilty of employing some expensive ways of doing small things. Just to illustrate that with an example, I think this is a true story, which they taught me during college days, where there was a soap manufacturer. In the last step of the manufacturing process, the soap was to go into the soap box, and then the box would fall into the crate, which would get delivered to retailers. Now, someone found that these soap boxes, some of them did not have the soap at all, and yet they were being packed as such and dispatched to retailers. So then this company called in experts, technologists to solve that problem. I don't know if you've heard this.
No, go ahead.
Everyone, you know, Ivy Leagues and technologists, they came in, they gave some great example, you know, great ways to do it. It cost a bomb. And there was one guy at the shop floor who said, "What are you guys talking about? Let's just put a very high velocity fan at the last step of this assembly line, wherein the distance that the soap box has to travel, if it doesn't fall in the crate, it'll be blown away. So your problem is solved." That was your problem, wasn't it? That you should not have any empty soap boxes. So the idea sometimes is that technology may not be the answer always. It's common sense sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we also focus on, is it's not which technology to use, but why to use it and how to use it. You know, I think there is enough type of technology available to solve a simple problem in a complex way, and vice versa.
Indeed. Many thanks for your time, Ashwin, on this inaugural podcast. It was fun talking to you.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good to speak to you too.
Thanks a lot. And all you listeners out there, this was the first Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. There are a few more on the anvil. Tune in on forbesindia.com and also find us on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast channels.